Welcome to the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer's Sermon Podcast.
The readings appointed for this sermon are from the book of the prophet Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1 through 7, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 18 through 31, the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verse 20 through 36, and Psalm 71, verse 1 through 14.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Amen. I can't get this out of my mind. So as Phil was describing how the service happens, we have a conversation at the end of the service. And it's occurring to me that I am going to give a very brief summary of Phil's sermon from yesterday. And if there's going to be any immediate correction,
it might be from me.
I think that may come from you, yes. But Phil's sermon yesterday was on the gospel reading related to Mary anointing Jesus' feet and then wiping them with her hair. And Phil talked about the intimacy of that scene. And he also talked about Jesus' vulnerability. And while I'd spent quite a bit of time with our gospel reading today, I started last night looking at it differently through that lens of intimacy and vulnerability. And the line that came out to me most strongly was, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Now my soul is troubled." Jesus is speaking with Andrew and Philip at the beginning of this reading, and they've come to tell him that there are some Greeks who want to see him. And instead of responding yes or no to this, and this happens several times in this reading, things just kind of seem to go right past the question and on to someplace else. But instead of responding, Jesus tells them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then he draws the analogy with the grain of wheat must fall to earth and die to bear fruit. He also goes on to tell them what may be hard for them and for many of us to hear is that those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I don't believe Jesus is telling them to hate their lives as much as he's saying to them, God has to come first. Our love of God has to come first. It begins with that. So then, after these words, comes this acknowledgement on Jesus' part, speaking to Andrew and to Philip. He's saying, "Now my soul is troubled. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour." In these words, he is sharing with two of the people he has journeyed with for quite some time at this point. He's sharing with them what he's feeling. His soul is troubled. That this is not something that is easy for him. This is hard. And how could it not be? How could it not be hard? The Son of God is also very human, very vulnerable. He cannot be complacent about the suffering his very human body is going to endure, the excruciating death that awaits him. And he is able to express this feeling of being troubled to those he knows so well. This is an act of intimacy and also an act of vulnerability. In the very next breath, Jesus expresses his complete commitment to this path. "No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour. And then, Father, glorify your name." And then John's gospel tells us of the voice from heaven, how it says, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again," and how the crowds are now hearing this, and they mistake it for thunder, or they say maybe an angel is speaking to Jesus. And Jesus tells the crowd, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine." And he speaks of the judgment of the world that is to come. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus is describing his own death, a death he understands as necessary for our salvation. So there's intimacy, vulnerability, and this deep commitment born of love. We see all three of these in this gospel reading. In our own lives, are there moments we want to shy away? We want to turn away. We want to turn inward. We want to avoid intimacy, avoid vulnerability, avoid any soul deep commitment to love. I certainly know I've been in those places of avoidance. It's part of our human condition and part of our conditioning. Intimacy may be interpreted as dependence, as vulnerability or as weakness, as commitment to love may raise up the strongest sense of vulnerability. And yet we know love needs intimacy, of being willing to be present and close to another. Love requires vulnerability, being willing to be seen, to be transparent in our moments of fear or struggle. Love needs steadfastness to endure the challenges and complexities of individuals, families, of communities. Intimacy, vulnerability, and steadfast love are interwoven. We see them often in times of illness, times of struggle, when someone may not feel able to do what they usually would be able to do, say following a surgery or following a long illness. And all of a sudden, there's a need for help. And most of us are much more comfortable doing things ourselves or being the helpers, but being willing to receive help, allowing that intimacy and that vulnerability to be transparent in the relationships in our lives is really an important movement towards deeper love. On the other side of that equation, sometimes we find ourselves put in a role of caregiver, and a role that we might never have fully anticipated. And I've seen this so many times that when someone is, say, caring for their parent, and the relationship with the parent totally changes because that person who was kind of in charge is now in need, and yet still frequently wanting to be in charge. And so again, it calls for that willingness to be intimate and to be vulnerable, and for that steadfastness of love. And I think of other times where we might find ourselves being vulnerable. I shared the story earlier today about my granddaughter who's going to become a teenager next week. But when she was 11, Christmas before last, we were on an island in the Bahamas. And I consider her pretty fearless. If there's a mountain, she wants to climb it. If there's a wall, she's at the top of it. I mean, she climbed up this hillside next to the beach, and she froze. At the top, she froze. She froze because it was sand. It wasn't hard stone like she was used to, where she could get her footing. It was sand. And her mom and dad and I were like, just going down. I can't. And I get that feeling. I immediately identified with that because I can think of other situations I've been in. One time in Ireland, when I was on a solid stone and I had a walking stick, but all around me were things that looked like crevices. And we'd been warned, it's so easy to break your ankle. And as I recall, somebody here did break their ankle in Ireland. Sorry about that, David. But this was a different trip for me. And being on that stone and just feeling like I can't move. Any place I move, it's risky. Feeling that vulnerable. In both those instances, we had people around. My granddaughter had her family to encourage her and to get up there with her and walk down with her. I had people to say, okay, you just go to the next stone. You just find the next near stone. You can do this. And I did. But I think that vulnerability, intimacy, steadfast love are just so deeply interwoven. And God seeks intimacy and vulnerability in relationship with us and allows us glimpses of what that steadfastness and love can be. In our humanity, we will sometimes struggle, but we need only to look to Jesus to be reminded of the path of love. Jesus, knowing what pain and suffering awaits him, seems to only move closer to those who walk with him. We will see this repeatedly in the coming days. Jesus sees his disciples as they are, not as he might want them to be, but he sees them in their human frailties. And yet he continues to be present to them, to be vulnerable with them, to prepare them for what is to come, to give them every assurance he can, and to promise them that while he cannot make their path easy, that by following him, by walking with him, they will be with him and have eternal life. Jesus ends his words to the crowd with this: the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. Jesus' time is drawing near. As we walk with him this week, we will become increasingly aware of the urgency in his tone and the steadfastness of his love. Believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. Amen.